Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm your host, Sammy Womack, a nationally recognized money expert, budgeting coach, and your very own hype squad. I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Just a reminder that everything discussed in today's episode will be linked in the show notes. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads at A Sunny Side Up Life. If you're ready to take control of your money and need guided instructions, check out my free budgeting challenge by going to asunnysideuplife.com. Now, let's get into the episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. Today, we are going to talk about how to save money this summer, and I'm going to share some tips for having a fun but still frugal summer. I know a lot of my clients have kind of been getting nervous about this, especially my newer clients. If this is their very first summer doing a budget, they're like, okay, but how do we still do stuff? How do we, you know, have the kids home from school and kind of mix up our routine, but not totally bust the budget? And I have some people who are already kind of nervous about it. So I'm like, you know what? This is a great time to talk about this. A little bit early, you know, April, you still have time to plan for things, still time to set some money aside, maybe a couple paychecks between now and some of your activities. And so we are just going to jump right into this today. So you guys, you know, I think every year, I feel like the years go faster and faster the older we get. And every year I kind of catch myself being like, it's April already? Oh my gosh. And then before you know it, it's going to be 4th of July, and before you know it, it's going to be back to school, and it just goes so fast. But whether you like it or not, summer is coming, so let's try to be as prepared as we can, and I'm going to just share 10 simple tips with you guys. So first on my list is summer clothes. This really applies to any seasonal change. I always advise my clients to, if they can, if they do have kind of that wiggle room in their budget to do sinking funds, doing a clothing category in your sinking fund is one of the best things that you could do, especially if you have kids, because they're going to hit random growth spurts. And especially when they're really little, you know, the seasons change and a lot of times they don't fit in what they wore last season. So obviously, if you have kids, multiple kids, try to do as many hand-me-downs as you can. I have a really detailed organization system. I think I have, you don't know, 6 or 8 or so plastic totes, and I have them in the garage, and I have them labeled on the outside of what sizes are in each box, and are they long sleeve shirts, short sleeve shirts, dresses, jeans, like what is in there? Because I have 3 girls, so they have a lot of hand-me-down clothes. We also get a lot of hand-me-down clothes from our friends and relatives and people like that are just like, here, have these. And, you know, I'm not too good to take free hand-me-downs, right? So definitely take advantage of that if you are able to. But second best on that list is thrifting clothes. The amazing thing about this new generation of Gen Alpha kids and even some Gen Z kids is that they are kind of proud of their thrifted clothes. I feel like these generation of kids, they just own things a lot better than maybe us millennials did. I remember being so embarrassed of the fact that I had used clothes, because back then they were used clothes. Now they're thrifted clothes, and it's a vibe and it's a thing. And you're like, yeah, I don't waste my money and I care about the environment. And my kids love to kind of flex on people that they have thrifted clothes. So I don't know if you could kind of create that trend for your kids and create it where it is kind of a flex. You're like, yeah, I got 10 items and this other person who paid retail only got 1. Kind of sounds like that's a flex, like that's kind of a good thing. And you're like, plus, hey, it's good for the environment. You get more items for your money. Sounds better all around. So yeah. So if your kids are young enough that you can kind of guide that mindset along, hey, even better.
And what really gets me, if your kids are old enough to kind of understand the environmental impact, what really got me, and I catch myself repeating this a lot to people, is I've heard a statistic that there is currently enough clothing on the earth to clothe the next six generations. That is way too much, and we need to get a little better about wearing our clothes out, using them for what they're worth, passing them along to other people that could get some more use and some more joy out of them. There also are a lot of trends going around of clothing swaps where it is like a whole event. I know we had one here in our, was it in our town or was it the next town over? I can't remember. I think I was out of town and I couldn't go, but I was so mad that I couldn't go, but it was like at our expo center. Like it was at a big place and it was basically just people, regular people came and literally just did a clothes swap and it was a really big event. But also Facebook groups, buy nothing groups. I know our homeschool group did a clothing swap one time and like a I think we did books and clothes where we just kind of did like a trunk sale out of the back of our cars and we just kind of swapped. That's always a really great idea. Or, you know, doing it with a club maybe that you're in, if you're in like Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or your church or your soccer team or lots of little groups that could kind of do these clothing swaps if your kids are similar ages and similar sizes could be a really good idea. And also obviously, garage sales. To me, I love garage sales. A lot of the trends right now of people complaining about thrifted clothes are complaining that Goodwill and different big name resale stores are price gouging. Okay, garage sales are not really doing this as much. There are some people who just get kind of uppity about what they think their clothes are worth, and you're like, yeah, I'm not paying you $10 for that used shirt. How about one or two, depending on what it is? Maybe some jeans that are like five or 10, maybe if they're really good quality jeans. But yeah, I'm paying you like a dollar or two for most items. So just kind of keep that in mind if you are planning to host a garage sale. Price the stuff to sell and don't price gouge people because people are already exhausted, especially the people who love thrifted clothes and are committed to it, like myself. We're exhausted from places like Goodwill really price gouging people. And it's almost like Goodwill is like an afterthought, a second, you know, plan B kind of for me. When it comes to thrifted clothes, I try to go to garage sales and yard sales, estate sales, things like that first. If I have time and money left, or if I'm looking for a particular item, then I'll go to kind of the big box thrift stores because the prices are just getting that much out of hand. So just kind of keep that in mind, that if you are upset about Goodwill and stuff, try some garage sales and you can search for those in some of the newspapers still do them, especially if you have like the older folks who are doing a garage sale. They'll put them in the newspapers. I've kind of found that most of the younger generation that when they're hosting garage sales, they're pretty much posting them on Facebook Marketplace or just doing signs at the end of the roads. So for me, I have kind of gotten in a routine with my garage sales. I'll go down like the main roads of town and just kind of look for the arrow signs to say, hey, yeah, there's a sale down this street, and it'll kind of usually kind of guide you like turn here, turn there, and you can kind of find the sales. Usually for me, that's the best way to find sales. If I'm just not seeing any signs, then I'll kind of go to Facebook Marketplace. I honestly don't even look in the newspaper anymore. It's a waste of time for me. So just a little tip if you're kind of looking for sales. My second tip is to have a garage sale, yard sale, or sell online if you don't have the time or the space availability to host your own sale. There are places like Poshmark and Mercari and even eBay for some higher named, you know, if they're designer items or jewelry or purses or things like that. Even eBay works really well too. Or Facebook Marketplace, right? And kind of trade some of our clutter in for extra cash to spend this summer, or trade in, you know, last year's clothes to kind of refresh a new season of clothes for yourself or your kids or both, right? You can have a sale, you can go to sales, you can do both. For me, I have done multiple garage sales in my life, and I go almost every Saturday. It's one of my favorite things to do because, like I said, I can get, you know, a clothing item for $1 or $2. I recently got a pair of not like new, but barely used Air Force Ones for $5. They needed a little wash. That was literally all I did. And they look like you wore them maybe 10 times. Like, they're going to look like that after I wear them a couple of times anyway. So, you know, I just got some checkered Vans the other day for $1.50. They were quite dirty, but they were so cheap. I was like, I'm going to take a chance, see if I can get them clean. I brought them home, soaked them in some OxiClean, washed them in a hot water wash. And I have some like rubber glue to repair the soles because there was a little bit of kind of the soles were pulling away from each other. I put a little bit of that glue around the toe area of the shoe and they look great. They were $1.50. So just to get a little creative. And so I told my husband the other day that it's time for us to do another garage sale. It's been about 6 months or so since we did our last one. And I have been going to garage sales pretty regularly. And I can feel, especially the clothing clutter for myself and my girls, kind of starting to pile up. Our laundry room is a little messy at the moment of them kind of having a get rid of pile on top of the dryer of stuff that they're ready to purge. So I do need to kind of do that swap of having my own sale and kind of trade out some of the pieces that they're tired of or they've outgrown for the newer pieces that I've been finding. And so for me, it's just kind of a cycle. I'll do my own sale every, you know, once or twice a year. And it's been a really good cycle for me, especially with my girls growing as fast as they do and being such little fashionistas and trying to find their own preferences, their own style, their own unique looks. It's been really good to kind of have them experiment a little bit with clothes that are a little bit cheaper than having them experiment with, you know, a shirt that costs $30 and they wear it once and they decide they don't like it. I don't care so much if it's a shirt that costs $1 or $2 and then they decide they don't like it. So that's tip number two, have a garage sale or sell online. Tip number three, this was a big one for me when we first started our debt-free journey, was to pack a lunch, pack snacks, pack drinks, whatever it is, for your activities out of the house. So even if we were running errands, especially when my kids were really little, I would always pack my own snacks. I still always pack my own drinks because it just, that kind of stuff adds up so fast. And it's so easy to just stop, get snacks, get drinks, get lunch, whatever. You know, even like drive-through at McDonald's is costing us like $40 for the family. Even, you know, a drive-through like Subway or something for myself is like $10. You know, it adds up really quickly. We do still do that kind of stuff every so often for treats, but it's not the norm. It's not the norm for us. So just kind of getting in the habit of like, hey, we're going to go out and run errands, especially if your kids are, you know, public school kids and they're out of school for the summer. Now your kids are running errands with you. So it's not as easy as, hey, I'm going to run through Starbucks and get a refresher or something while I'm running errands. Now it's, oh, I have to get, you know, 4 of them. And it's not $5. Now it's $20. You know, so that kind of stuff does add up a lot. And, you know, this can be, for me, one of the biggest things that helped me with this, packing snacks to run errands or packing lunch before we go somewhere, was letting the kids get involved with the grocery shopping, letting them pick out what chips they wanted, what cookies they wanted, which flavor of Gatorade they wanted, what, you know, what flavor of Capri Suns they wanted, whatever it was. So they were a little more excited about the snacks that we were packing because there were snacks that they had actually picked out. They just did it at the grocery store where it was much, much more affordable. So now they're like, oh, yeah, like for homeschool group, for us, for our co-op, we always pack a lunch. And the girls will purposely put the snacks that they want. You know, Melly is obsessed with like the Honest apple juice boxes. So she'll get them and she'll save them for our co-op days so she can put them in our picnic lunch that we have between our classes. So just getting excited about that and making it a little more special can be a really great way to, instead of, you know, kind of bumming the kids out and being like, yeah, we're not getting McDonald's. So sorry, not today. Number four on my list is to skip the souvenirs. So if you are, you know, planning to go to events, if you are planning to go on a vacation, doing these things where you don't have to get a souvenir at every single thing. And sometimes that is a hard cycle to break if it has been really normalized with your kids. If your kids are older and kind of in the routine of, we go through the aquarium, we stop at the gift shop and mom gets me something. And that's a really hard habit to break. So I would say it is helpful to kind of ease out of it and maybe saying like, okay, we're going to limit to like a $5 thing or a $10 thing instead of like a $30 thing. Maybe putting them a little more on the budget. If it is something that you're like, they're so used to it, though, it's going to be a huge fight. Or it is kind of being more like, hey, we're not going to get a souvenir. We're going to go and get ice cream instead. At least it's something that's not going to be clutter. It might cost about the same amount of money, but maybe it's not clutter. Something like that, and kind of easing them out of it. If your kids are still really little where they're not already in the habit of it and they don't, you know the difference necessarily, go ahead and build that habit now. I can just warn you as a parent of older kids. But, you know, kind of getting more in the let's be present in the moment. Let's take a lot of pictures. Let's create memories. We're not here to just waste money. Like, we might be doing the activity, going to the aquarium, going to Legoland, you know, going somewhere for the weekend. But we don't have to waste our money on cheap junk at the souvenir shop. Number five is opt for park days or play dates with friends at families, houses, things like that. Instead of those expensive like kid places, you know, like a Legoland or an aquarium, like if that is just literally not in your budget, you know, it doesn't have to be big. A lot of times our kids would rather just have the one-on-one, would rather just have the attention, the experience. And a lot of times, honestly, sometimes going to big places end up being more overwhelming for our kids and it's really worth it. Sometimes they're just kind of like, there's too much going on. It's too loud. You know, they end up exhausted. They're off their sleep schedule. They're off their lunch schedule, whatever it is. And they end up so fussy anyway. Like, it doesn't have to be the most expensive, most exaggerated thing. For what? You know, what is really the point here? The point is to spend quality time together, make memories, you know, even take a cute picture. For me, I'm like, if I could just take a cute family picture at this place, I will be happy. You can do that anywhere. You could do that at the park. It doesn't have to be, at, you know, Legoland or an aquarium or somewhere super expensive. A lot of times kids just want to play with their friends. They just want to see their cousins. They just want to see their grandma. They just want to see, you know, if they're on summer break, they just want to see their school friends, right? So just kind of maybe planning some things like that, or even doing like a play date swap. I know with some of our public school friends, it will be more of like, you know, texting their mom and being like, oh, you know, they're on summer break. What is it? Your kid come over to my house and play, and next week my kids can come over to your house and play. And we kind of do a swap like that. The kids just want to hang out. Really. Really, they just like get some popsicles at the grocery store, pop them a bag of popcorn, let them scream and run around. That's really what they want to do anyway, right?
For the past 4 years, I've worked with over 100 clients one-on-one, real women who took action on making big changes to their finances. My coaching sessions are designed to give you completely personalized budgeting support. Together, we'll organize your bills, build better spending habits, pay down your debt, build your savings, and invest for the future. I'll help you get a system in place that will set you up for success for years to come. I'll answer all of your questions along the way, talk you through all of your mindset blocks, and most of all, I'll be there to hold you accountable. So this time will be the time that you'll finally stick to your budget and make those dreams a reality. Visit asunnysideuplife.com/coaching to apply today to see if one-on-one budget coaching is right for you.
Number six is kind of what we talked about already, but packing a picnic lunch versus going to somewhere like Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, all right, is try a park. You know, honestly, they're going to be able to run and scream and get their energy out at a park. Versus at Chick-fil-A play place, we're going to constantly be telling them, okay, don't push, don't scream, don't wait your turn. You know, at the park, they can really run around, be crazy, get all their crazy and their wiggles out. They're probably going to have more fun, even if it is a little hot. You know, maybe try to go early in the morning or more in the evenings. If you're somewhere like Texas, where, you know, last summer, it's like 115, like every day for like 6 weeks. It was ridiculous. Where we were really doing our outdoor activities at almost sundown, sometimes after sundown, because it was just so hot. But honestly, our kids would much rather do that in a lot of places. So if this is kind of a brand new experience for you, like, I don't know, like, entertain these kids, I don't know what to do, or I don't know what kind of lunch to pack so it's not super boring, I'm not like a picnic mom, you know, look on Pinterest, look on TikTok, try to find some cute ideas. I've seen lots of cute ideas of, like, you know, doing like celery sticks and peanut butter with like raisins, like ants on a log. Or I remember a friend of ours one time did one of those like tackle box lunches where she kind of made like a little kit for a picnic. And my kids were so jealous that her kids had like a tackle box snack. And I just brought them like regular sandwiches and like goldfish or something really boring. They were so jealous. So lots of things like that. Honestly, usually they just want to have quality time. They just want to see their friends or their cousins or whoever. Number seven is start a new cheap or free tradition. For us, this recently has been listening to an audiobook together. If you already pay for Audible or you already pay for a Spotify membership or something like that, you have audiobooks at your disposal. For me, I actually canceled my Audible because I already pay for Spotify. I have like the $18.99 or something plan. And Spotify is growing so much with their podcast. You might be listening to this on Spotify right now. That's where I listen to my podcast. But their audiobook selection is growing like crazy. Every time I check back, I feel like they have more and more selection. So check that out if that's something, if you're like, I got to get these kids to not be staring at their screens, but it's hot outside. They want to be inside, but I don't know what to do. Audiobooks are a great idea. And for us, it's really been like a quality bonding time. We kind of been doing this as like our downtime at bedtime. I tried to be an out loud story reader, but the older the kids get, the more complicated the books get, the more I'm like tripping over my words. And, you know, it's not like reading like a little toddler book anymore. And I just am not that good of an out loud reader. So audiobooks have been really good for us. Right now we're listening to Anna Green Gables. We're almost done with it. We're listening to it on Spotify. I put it on the Bluetooth speaker so we can all hear it. And we all kind of just lay around the living room before bedtime. And, you know, they'll do like slime or Play-Doh. Or sometimes I'll let them play something quiet, like a quiet game on their iPads while they're listening. Something like that, you know. And we've all been kind of listening to the story together. And it's been a really fun, basically free, because I'm going to pay for my Spotify regardless. So more or less free. But there's lots of different things you can do. You know, getting into art projects, working on a garden, picking up a new sport. My husband's been getting into disc golf. I mean, he bought the disc golf set in the first place, but after that it's free. You just go to the park and throw the frisbees around. So there's lots of different things like that. Evening walks, gosh, like I can think of so many. That could also be something good to search up on Pinterest or TikTok and just kind of see maybe some ideas of what other people are doing. As you kind of are like, let me just start a new tradition and maybe make a big deal out of it to the kids. It's, oh my gosh, isn't this so fun? Like, we're going to do this all this summer and we're going to have something to look forward to. Again, a lot of times they really just want quality time with you. They want to cuddle with you on the couch. They want to know that you're listening to the same thing they're listening to. Even us, like now that we're listening to this book together, we all kind of have like this inside joke almost of like talking about the book and something that, like, you know, everybody else doesn't really know what's going on. So it's been really fun and a really good bonding experience. Number 8 is using things that you already have on hand, craft supplies that you already have on hand, games that you already have on hand, puzzles that you already have on hand, upcycling things, like upcycling old shirts that you don't want anymore, you know, or just there's so many different, you know, little things that you can do. Cooking with supplies that you already have on hand. There's probably some games or puzzles that you haven't done in a long time that you can kind of dust off, revisit. I used to do, when my kids were really little, I would do like a busy basket kind of thing to kind of limit their screen time. So I would like refresh the basket every couple of days with like a fresh puzzle, fresh, you know, little plastic animals and books to read and stuff like that. And I would kind of put it out in the living room. And so they would look like, oh, what did she refresh the basket with? And they kind of had forgotten about this puzzle or forgotten about this toy or forgotten about this game or this book or this color book or these art supplies or something like that. So kind of just like bringing things out, making them feel fresh, you know, maybe doing a little caddy or something on the dining room table with some markers and crayons and like leaving some blank paper out, just kind of prompting something to do with the stuff that you already have on hand. Another thing I used to do was getting color books and art supplies and stuff like that from the Dollar Tree because it's so cheap. But I would notice they would start to get like halfway through a coloring book and they wouldn't finish it because they would think that it was full. So what I used to do was I would go through it and kind of weed out the pages that were still not colored and I would pull them out. And so I just have ripped out pages of uncolored pages and I would make a pile and then do like a little caddy of like, you know, like a silverware utensil kind of thing with the different divided sections. And I would have markers on one side, watercolor paints, crayons, different things like that. And setting these blank coloring sheets out on the table with the art supplies caddy. And then they were like, oh, like these brand new pictures that they didn't even notice were still available to color in the coloring book. Just stuff like that. Also, you know, again, looking for buy nothing groups or Facebook pages that are like, you know, maybe you trade your old games for new games and stuff like that. Number 9 on my list is looking for reduced summer pricing. So like, for example, Planet Fitness will offer free teen admission, right? Different things like that. Movie theaters looking for offering cheaper pricing or matinee movies where there's going to be cheaper to go during the day and different things like that. So it might be worth a quick Google to look up places in your area that are offering these special prices. I know our library always does a lot of events. They do even more during the summer of, you know, free stuff like that, which leads me directly into tip number 10 is look for Facebook events, look for city sponsored events, library sponsored events, even searching on Groupon for discounted, you know, discounted mini golf, discounted arcade, discounted aquarium, like different things like this that, you know, we are going to spend a little bit on, but we could be as frugal as possible when we do go. I know a lot of people don't really forget to look on Groupon, but there's tons of stuff like that. You know, and of course, making sure that you're following different pages in your city, your town, or your nearby town, even if it's like a 30-minute drive to go to something free, it might be worth it. Or just looking for more of those like city type sponsored summer camps and stuff that are going to be a little bit cheaper than these privately owned, not to like down on the small businesses because we're all about supporting small businesses, but if it's not in your budget, this might be your season to kind of skip that event, and you might be able to do the more expensive small business kind of summer camp a year or two from now. And this year just might not be your year. And that's perfectly, perfectly fine. So just look for some of those events. If you are one that likes to, you know, maybe keep your kids a little busy, and or maybe if your kids are not homebodies and they're just going to be so, so bored, kind of looking for things like that that are going to be a little bit cheaper or maybe even free. So those are my 10 tips. Lastly, just kind of to summarize, is I want to encourage you guys that if you are kind of feeling a little anxious about the summer spending, if you are feeling a little anxious about, oh, you know, the utility bills are going to go up because we're going to be home more. And if you're like us, summer is our expensive season for electricity because it gets so hot here, and you're a little anxious about it, or you're anxious about the grocery bill going up with having the kids home all the time, the best thing you can do about this is face it. Not ignore it, not bury your head under the sand and just pretend like it's not going to happen and be like, oh, well, it's going to be expensive. Oh, well. The best thing you can do is get your regular budget set up, okay? If you are brand new to budgeting, you literally don't even have a budget, take a look at my budget worksheets. I'll have them linked in the show notes, of course. If it's something that you feel super, super overwhelmed with, apply for one-on-one coaching and we can get on a call and we can get you good and set up before the summer happens. But you can also always do your own budget. You can literally just get a blank piece of paper, piece of computer paper, an empty journal, pull up the notes on your phone, pull up a blank Excel sheet, doesn't matter. You can get started. All you really need to do is plug in your income minus what bills are going to be due on that particular, from that income. I have this paycheck. I need to pay this bills. I need to do this spending, these groceries, this gas, the necessities, right? And after you know the necessities, you can get this leftover, air quotes, extra money, and you can figure out where you can splurge. Okay, what can we spend on restaurants? What can we spend on summer clothes? What can we spend on weekend events? Or, you know, taking the kids to Chick-fil-A, taking the kids to the aquarium, whatever it is we want to do. What does our extra money look like? What can we really afford to do without breaking the bank, without going into debt for it? And that can be done with a very simple budget. Some people have a lot of moving parts to their budget, and I know sometimes it's a little easier said than done. It can be overwhelming. It can be stressful. And if you do feel like it's overwhelming or stressful, let me know. That's something I can definitely help with. But the whole point of budgeting in general is I want you to live the best possible version of your life. I want you to be the best possible version of yourself, for yourself, for your partner, for your family, for your friends, all the things. Like, that is the whole point. I don't want you to be stressed about your money. I want you to make a plan. I want you to go into the summer confidently. I want you to be able to say yes to things and know good and well that you can legitimately afford to do them. I want you to sometimes say no to things, and I want you to know why you're saying no to it. Not because, I don't know, we're just broke. I want you to say no because you're like, no, I know that we're like, this is what we're doing and able for us to be able to pay off our debt. I'm going to say no this season because we're getting out of debt right now. And that's why. And sometimes just knowing your ultimate why is so empowering. It helps just your subconscious rest a little. You can be a lot more present in the moment. You can actually show up for yourself, your people. You can be present. You can actually enjoy the thing that you're doing. I was just talking to a client today, and she had just had her first cash flowed weekend away with her friend. And she was like, I've never done a weekend away without putting it on a credit card. And she was like, I didn't spend as much as I wanted to. I did go slightly over budget and I had to borrow a little from the savings. And she was like, but you know what? I didn't go into debt for it. And I was like, girl, that's a win. Like, yes, thank you. That is a win. It is slow progress, but it is progress, and we have to celebrate that. So if this is going to be your first summer to not go into debt for having fun for the summer, celebrate yourself, even if it is the cheaper version, even if it is the picnic lunch instead of the Chick-fil-A lunch, even if it is thrifted clothes instead of a Target run clothes. That's okay. If you are cash flowing it, you are winning. You are winning at life. You are not making the credit card companies richer. You're not paying them interest on all the things that you're buying. You're winning. You're doing it right. And the best thing is that you are going to look back at the end of your summer and you are not going to have buyer's remorse every time you look at pictures of things that you did over the summer. You're going to look back in 5 years and you're not going to get that punch in the gut feeling because you know you good and well that you overspent on something. I have vacation pictures that I look back on now and I go, oh, we should have never went on that vacation. And those memories are tainted. I cannot look back at those pictures without thinking I shouldn't have spent that money. But stuff that I've cash flowed, even if it's the cheaper version, even if it's the frugal version, I'm like, that was a good memory. That was a good memory. I was present. I was happy. I was purposefully there. It was great. So that's just my little, you know, spiel of a soapbox here. The whole point of budgeting is I want you to be the best version of yourself and I want you to live the best possible version of your life. And I promise you that spending intentionally, budgeting intentionally, saying no intentionally, that's how you do it. Okay. And I just want you to have the best possible summer. So I hope that these tips were helpful to you. Again, if you're interested in working with me, please check out the show notes. If you're interested in setting up your own budget, but doing it with my worksheets, again, check out the show notes. If none of that is in your budget right now, and you're like, I can't spend any money on all this, hey, I totally get it. I totally used to be there. Find a blank piece of paper, open up a blank Word doc, get started on your own budget, and have the best possible summer that you can. All right, that's all for me this week.
Thanks for hanging out for another episode of a Sunny Side Up Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend and leave a review. 5-star reviews are what help the podcast grow. Don't forget to check out the episode show notes for links to everything that we talked about in today's episode. And if you want to access all of my free resources or you want to learn how to work with me one-on-one, head over to asunnysideuplife.com to get started. And if you want to keep up with me in the day-to-day, don't forget to follow me on social media at asunnysideuplife. Well, that's all for me this week. Bye, guys.